job. We have a handout for you tonight, so the ushers are coming with that now. And handout number 4 for the book of Proverbs. So the fellows, if you'll pass that around, make sure everybody that wants one gets one. I think we have enough for everybody to have one this evening. Take a minute and get those to you. That'll be good. Super. Probably enough for the kids to have one too. Maybe not all the little ones, but some of the older ones. That'll be a blessing. Got some over there to your left on the, over there, Dave. On the left over there. We're all covered over here. All right, very good. We're going to pray. Run out. Didn't run out, surely. Brent, right here, right the gardeners. Oh, you got them. Okay. Thank you, sir. All good in the balcony, Mr. Tarks. Jeannie, Mom got there okay, far as you know. Do you have contact with her? Leslie does. Email or she called you. Good. Everything went fine for her? Yeah, Brother Sharp was delayed. They came in the day after, I think. 8 of them were delayed. So, but they're all together now. And so, good. Well, I'm glad your mom's over there, or grandma and mom doing well. That's good to know. Heavenly Father, help us tonight as we get into this book. I pray that you'll help us to have a desire to learn. And God, may it be a blessing to us. I pray that you'll touch me and help me. I want to be a blessing to the people. They've come out on a Wednesday night, taken the time and driven the miles to be here. So I pray that you'll please help it to go well. And Lord, give us a desire to learn in Jesus' name. And amen. All right, chapter 1, we finished off last week. Chapter 2 of the book of Proverbs is divided into two sections, verses 1 through 9, verses 10 through 22, the best I can tell. And I'm not saying that that's a fast and hard division, but as far as I can tell, it seems like it's divided into two sections with those verses. The second section tells us what the results will be if we learn the lesson in the first section. Okay, so there's a lesson here in the first section. And then the second section tells us what the results will be if we learn the lesson in this first section, verses 1 through 9. So we're going to begin with living wisely, principle number 5. And that is that the wise put a high priority on God's Word and His commandments. So the wise put a high priority on God's Word and His commandments. You see this right off the bat. In verse number 1 of the chapter, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So right at the very beginning, you've got a reference to God's word and his commandments, okay? They need to have a very high priority in the life of the one who lives wisely, okay? Now look at verse number 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. So the wise person inclines their ear to hear and applies their hearts to understand wisdom. All right? So the wise people, those that live wisely, are going to put a high priority on God's Word and His commandments. And then verse 2 tells us, and I think this is number 2 on your sheet there, that the wise incline their ear to hear and apply their hearts to understand. That's hear and learn. Hear and learn. Hear and learn. Not hear. Not go in one ear and out the other. Okay? Hear it and take it to heart. Hear it and take it to heart. Apply it to your heart. That's how the wise person lives. Okay? The wise person doesn't let wisdom just come in one ear and out the other, pass on through without making any change or impact on their life. The wise person hears and then applies it to their heart, learns from it. Okay? Now, everybody puts some level of priority on the Word of God. I have a priority that I put on the Word of God. Each one of you has a priority that you put on the Word of God. Now, knowing that there is wisdom in the Bible, excuse me, is not enough to ensure you benefit from it. As a matter of fact, I have to ask anybody in this room tonight, do you think the Bible is a book of wisdom? I'm pretty confident that 100% of you would respond by saying yes. The Bible is a book of great wisdom. Well, just knowing that alone, folks, doesn't make us wise. Okay? We have to ensure that we benefit from the wisdom that's in this book by having a focused effort on hearing and learning from the wisdom that is in God's book. Hearing and learning. So I got to listen. And I've been trying to, we've been talking about that. We talked about that in verse number, in chapter number one a little bit. You know, and you got to pay attention. You know, we live in a world where in order to grab your attention, everything is jumping up and down on the screen and flashing lights and turning over and real loud music, and it all gets your attention. It all grabs for your attention. The Bible's not going to grab for your attention. My bow hunting magazine screams for my attention more than the Bible does. Say, how do I know that? Because when they're laying side by side, I'm tempted to pick up the bow hunting magazine. Over the Bible? Well, what is it with you? Popular Mechanics? Concealed carry? I don't know. The Bible doesn't scream for our attention. It just doesn't. Okay? But it's full of wisdom. It's full of knowledge. It is God's book. Just knowing that alone is not enough to ensure that we benefit from it. We have to hear. We have to listen. Then we have to learn. We have to apply it to our heart. Now, verse number 4 tells us to what degree we really need to put a priority on the Bible and the wisdom that's in it. He says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Now, what degree of priority should we put on God's Word? Well, this is how God says we should seek after the wisdom that's in His Word. Now, you know what? I think that if there was evidence that if it became known, okay, if it became known, we were talking out here the other day, and by the way, pray, I almost said this, but pray for this Spanish, the building down in Kankakee. We're kind of at a place right now where we're either going to abandon that completely or stay with it. And so just pray for wisdom. I think we're leaning toward abandoning it just for several different reasons that I won't go into here tonight. But we were kind of walking around out there just contemplating, is there enough room to put a, you know, it's a small building, but you can't put a pole building up in Bourbonnais. It's got to be a, you know, it's got to be a primary surface, has to be brick or drive it or concrete. It's just expensive to build a brand new building. We were looking at the grass, you know, but there's not a lot of lawn and acreage left out there to even build on. Then if you put a 200-seat auditorium out there, we got to build 50 more parking places by code. So it's not going to work. But you know, if it became known to Faith Baptist Church that there was without a doubt somewhere in that on that property out there a good sum of silver or gold or other precious metals that were hidden out there. And it was a known fact. I mean, it was a slam dunk. Do you think there'd be any response to that? I think there would be. I think if we didn't make the effort as a church, organize corporately to go out there and see if we could find it, many of you would probably be moonlighting over here on 1280 Armor Road, you know, in the middle of the night with your headlamps and your you know, and all that thing, and trying to find all that stuff. If you knew, you would search for silver. You'd search for gold. You know, I was reading about this week because it got my mind on it reading this passage. The California Gold Rush. As I read it, and I think it was a fairly accurate website. You don't know, but it seemed to be a fairly accurate website as I compared it to other websites. The California Gold Rush was the largest mass migration in American history because it brought about 300 people. To the state of 300,000 people. 300,000 people to the state of California. Now that's a lot of people to one little area, one state. They call it the largest mass migration in American history. It all started on January 24th, 1848, when James W. Marshall found gold on his piece of land at Sutter's Mill in a place called Coloma, C-O-L-O-M-A. Now the news of the gold find spread quickly. And people from Oregon and the Sandwich Islands, which is now known as Hawaii, and Latin America were the first somehow to hear the news. And so they were the first to arrive in California by the end of 1848. And then people started coming from the rest of the United States, Europe, Australia, and China, arriving in 1849, hence the name 49ers. You know that. But it was over 300,000 people that migrated to California for the purpose of seeking for gold. Now think about that, folks. Think about people in China and Australia giving up their homes, giving up their livelihoods, giving up their family connections, because in 1849 there is no internet, there is no FaceTime, there is no landline, okay? So in 1849, these people are giving up their livelihoods, their homes, their families, their homeland to move across that great ocean to search for gold. Now, you know what that's called? That's called putting a priority. Putting a priority on something. Putting it high on the list of what's important to me. And so God says, here is His book, His commandments and His word that is actually full of wisdom and understanding, and just knowing that alone doesn't ensure that we gain from it. We have to listen, we have to hear, we have to learn, and in order to do that, we're going to have to put a high priority on it, as high a priority as we would put on trying to find gold and silver, some precious metal, if we knew that it was available to be found. That's what God said. So, that's a pretty high priority. You're going to jump through several hoops. You're going to jump over a lot of hurdles if you put that kind of priority on the wisdom from God's Word. It's amazing to me, you know, and again, you've got to learn, you've got to listen and learn, hear and listen. It's amazing to me how easily distracted some people are in the teaching and preaching of God's Word. We got some folks not listening right now to the thing I'm saying. They're distracted. I'm not saying they're doing anything bad. They're just distracted. I see it. I'm up here. I'm looking in the eyes, okay? I'm up here every service, okay? And is it possible to sit every service like a wooden Indian and soak it all in? I don't know if it's possible or not. But I tell you what, if you want to learn, you got to put a high priority on it. You want your kids to learn? You got to help them put a high priority on it. A high priority on it. So that's what he said here. He said that all the Bible's full. His words, His commandments are full of wisdom. But just knowing that is not going to ensure it. You've got to search for it. You've got to long for it. The wise put a high priority on God's Word and His commandments. Look at verse number 6 in the Bible here. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. What? Look at that. The Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Now, folks, what comes out of God's mouth? His Word. What comes out of your mouth, my mouth? Our words. Well, God gives, look at what the verse says, God gives wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So where am I going to find wisdom, knowledge, and understanding coming out of God's voice, God's mouth? Where am I going to find that? You got it in your book. You got it in your hands right there. Okay? So you got to pay attention, you got to listen, you got to learn. Now let me ask you, look back at verse number 3. This is something very interesting. Look at verse number 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Oh. So out of God's mouth comes wisdom, out of God's mouth comes knowledge, out of God's mouth comes understanding. What comes out of God's mouth is God's Word. And if I'll search for it, like I would search for silver and gold, and then maybe if I would ask Him? I don't get anything out of the church services. When's the last time you asked God to give you something? I don't get anything out of the messages. Well, did you ask God to give you something out of the message? You drive into church, you know. Listen, I've talked to people here in the past. And that very, very structured prayer time on Sunday morning. And, you know, this is when we pray for God to bless you. And this is when we pray for God to give us something from the sermon. This is when we pray for God to give us something from His Word. He said in verse number 3, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, and where does it come from? It comes from God. So who am I asking to help me get it? God. If I want it. You know, if somebody had knowledge, again, the exact location of where a bunch of gold or silver or precious metal was buried in a field out here, and you knew that one certain fellow in the church had information as to what spot that was, you'd probably be asking him, where is it? Where is it? So God says, you just got to, look, you just got, and by the way, Need I remind us tonight that God says that what's in this book right here is more precious than gold. More valuable than gold. So the wise is going to put a high priority on God and His commandments. Yeah, I understand now more Jack Hiles when he said for all those years that I was in school up there, there are three things that he prayed for every morning when he got out of bed, started his day. Every morning he prayed for power, love, and wisdom. Power, love, and wisdom. So we ask God for wisdom. Help me understand the Bible. Now, you know, it takes effort. It takes conscious effort. It takes you putting a priority on it. I was thinking about this week, and I'm not getting on anybody. This is the Wednesday night folks that make the effort to come to church on Wednesday night. So I'm not down on anybody. I'm just saying, think about something with me. Do you ever have trouble staying awake at 11:30 on Tuesday morning? What are you doing at 11:30 on Tuesday morning? Are you sleeping? Are you napping? What are you doing at 11:30 on Thursday morning? Or 11:30 on Sunday morning? Or excuse me, Saturday morning? Why do God's people have trouble staying awake at 11:30 on Sunday morning? Why is that? And I'm not down on you. Why is it? Now, I understand, you know, being sedentary as opposed to being active. And I understand, I'll tell you what, man, I know how it is because I did it so many years myself, but these guys that are on these buses, that, you know, when it's 5 degrees and 10 degrees and it's a wind blowing and they're out there in and out in that cold, they come in here and sit down and it's warm. That can be tough. It can be lights out. Okay, I understand that. But is it that I'm okay with all that, or I just wonder sometimes how much of the drowsiness on Sunday morning is caused by the partying on Saturday night? So there's your priority. That's where you make priority. Am I going to, you know, keep everybody up till the latest hour we can on Saturday night, keep the kids up past, you know, what would be a decent time to go to bed, you know, and just let come what may Sunday? Or are we going to put a priority on being alert in our minds when we go to church so that we can get something that's more valuable than $1,000? You can't get that through some people's heads. You just can't. This is what God's talking about here. You know, let's bring it down to where we live. What kind of priority are we going to put on the Word of God? I was pleased. I was thrilled talking with one of our seniors in a senior appointment. And the senior told me, I said, how's your relationship with your Bible? And they said it could be better. But they said, you know what? Every night, Dad reads from the Bible and we all have prayer together. I was thrilled to hear that. Priority. Priority. Okay? This is what he's talking about here. Talking about priority. What priority do we give the Bible in our lives? Okay, now, let's look at verses number 10 through 22 real quickly here. Living wisely principle number 6 is this. The wise reap the benefits of putting a high priority on God's Word and His commandments. Remember I said it was in two sections? And the lesson, the section 2 is the benefits of learning the lesson in section 1. So the lesson in section 1 was the wise benefit. The wise put a high priority on God's Word and His commandments. Well, the lesson in section 2 is that the wise reap the benefits of putting a high priority on God's Word and His commandments. Look at verse number 10. He says here, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. He said, when? Now, in the first section, the section verses 1 through 9, the word if is used 3 times. Look at it. It's used in verse number 1. It's used in verse number 3. And it's used in verse number 4. If. Now, you know what that means, people? That means all the good things that God said about gaining wisdom and knowledge and understanding, now hear this, are conditional. Conditional. If they are all good and helpful, if we receive them. In fact, I think the critical words for this whole chapter are words 3, 4, and 5 in verse number 1. He says, my son, there's your first two words. Then he says, if thou wilt. Circle that. And write out in the margin of your Bible, will I? Because that really sums it up, folks. That sums up the essence of the matter. Will we or will we not? He didn't say, if thou canst. Because somebody could use the excuse, I can't. He said, if thou wilt. There is a big difference between can and will. You know that. Can leaves me an out. Can leaves me an escape hatch. Will puts it all on me. Okay, will I or will I not? It is in the power of my will as a child of God to put a high priority on God's Word. Will I or will I not? What will I do? Okay? Because it's conditional, all right? Then, it starts the second section with the word when. When wisdom entereth into thine heart. So you've found somebody who wills to put a high priority on wisdom and knowledge. Now it's entering into their heart. They're listening and learning. They're applying their heart. They're applying their heart to it. So it's that. So the benefits that are stated in the second section, are based on the premise that somebody puts a high enough priority on God's Word to hear it and learn it. And what is mentioned in verse 10, is amazing. Look what it says. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. You know, it's the result of knowledge being pleasant to our souls. Are you pleased to learn God's wisdom? Most young people are more pleased to play than to learn. I'm not against play. I think there ought to be plenty of playtime. Well, a lot of young people are more pleased to watch TV than to read a good book. And I'm not totally against television. I say if you've got a television, you're going to hell. But I'm saying, friend, this is all part of prioritizing what is important in life. What's important for a child of God? Should there be playtime? Sure, there should be playtime. But there should be time placed on learning wisdom and knowledge that comes from God's book. That needs to be pleasant to me. I need to enjoy it. It's something I look forward to, okay? And when knowledge is pleasant to me, then there will be great benefit. Now look at verse number 11. We learn one of the benefits, okay? Because he says in verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, you put a high priority on it and you start learning. Here's the benefit. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. So you're going to learn discretion. We talked about that in lesson number 1. Do you remember what discretion is? Discretion is the ability to separate right from wrong, primarily regarding one's own conduct. So here's a young man. Here's an old. We're not talking specifically to young people. We're talking all of God's people. He put a high priority on understanding and wisdom and knowledge that's in God's Word. I'm going to search for it like silver and gold. It's going to be a pleasant thing to me. I'm going to put a high priority on this. And it's not a matter if I can. It's a matter of if I will. And I'm going to listen and I'm going to apply my heart to learn. And God says, when you do that, folks, by default, you're going to start having discretion. God's Word gives you discretion. That's what He's saying here. It's not a matter that you've got to go looking for it. If you'll learn wisdom, if you'll learn knowledge, if you'll learn understanding from God, God's Word creates discretion in your heart. Now look what it says. And this is how discretion is used in verse number 12. Discretion is used two ways to deliver us. Look at verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like the people we talked about last week in chapter number 1. And I'll remind you what I said. There are dark and evil people in this world, and they would love to take you with them down the road they are traveling. Remember I said that last week? Now, here's what I said to you last week. I said that many of you, and this is for you young people, when you're young, and right now you are in a very sheltered environment, and probably have been most of your life. You've been sheltered at home. You're sheltered in a church that doesn't encourage worldliness. If we can help, I don't want to encourage worldliness of any kind, of the body, of the flesh, and of the spirit. None of it. You're in a school environment, either here or at your home possibly, where they encourage godliness. And when you go to work, when you go off to school or you go off to work somewhere and you get a job and you get working around people for the first time who are unsaved, it's going to shock you. And you will be tempted. Now, that's what I taught you last Wednesday. Service is over. I'm standing around here. I'm walking back this aisle right here. And I stop and I talk to Jack McDonald, who was sitting right over there. He's standing up. He stopped me. I said, "Hey, Jack, how you doing?" He said, "Pastor, I hope that they're listening." He said, "When I worked at the horse farm, the one guy I worked with kept after me. Come on, Jack, let's go to the men's club. Come on, Jack, you got to go once. Come on, Jack, I'll pay for it." And parents, you hear this. I don't think anybody's any more careful with their kids than Richie Elaine. But he said that he could have gone. Is that what you told me? "Come on, Jack, I'll pay for it. I'll pay." You know what finally got him to shut up? Jack Toy had told him, I'm a Christian. And finally, "Oh, come on, Jack. And I told you folks, they want you to go with them so that you're like them then. So all the pressure's off. But as long as you're different, it's like, ugh. Come on, Jack. I'll pay for it. It won't cost you anything. I'm a Christian." Then he told him, "Look, I'm not going. And the reason I'm not going is because I don't want to live with regrets." Now, how old were you, Jack? 19. That sounds like a pretty wise answer to you. Wonder where that came from. Wonder how a 19-year-old knew to say that. Instead of, you ever talk to some of these guys? "How you doing?" Can you imagine a guy put a pressure on a guy like that? But at 19, because I think this book pretty well spells it out, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, when you've made the effort to give a high priority on God's book and tried to learn a few things, automatically, by default, discretion is going to creep up into you and you're going to face that guy and say, "You know what? I want," and you know what? After Jack said that, he never said another word. Good. Now, I'm not just up here blowing smoke. This is 35 plus years, folks. I know what I'm talking about. I know when sheltered young people go off to work in the world, it's like vultures. Oof! And there's got to be a pool of learning and knowledge. And it's not that it's not available. It's that you don't get it. Because you don't put a high priority on it. It's on the low list. It's on the low priority list. But discretion is needed for deliverance from evil men. That's what it says here. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Jack was a virgin young man when he went up to Fairhaven and walked in and had Nicole walk. He was kept. It's preserved. So the Bible is just exactly what it says. So we need discretion for deliverance from evil men. But there is another area where discretion is needed. And for young men especially, discretion is necessary for deliverance from strange women. Because look what it says in verse number 16. "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the God of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God." So God says, you're going to need discretion. Discretion will preserve you. Discretion will keep you. And if you'll get discretion, it'll deliver you from the temptations of evil men. And say something else, fellas, it'll preserve you from the temptations of the strange woman. Now, verses 16 through 19, Solomon introduces a character to us by the name of the strange woman. The word strange here does not mean weird. Some of you fifth graders are saying, I know a strange girl in my classroom. But yeah. The word strange here does not mean weird or peculiar. There are a few times in the Bible when the words, listen, strange woman or strange women, are used about foreigners. Foreigners to the land of Israel. Okay. But the vast majority of the usage of those terms, strange woman and strange women, the vast majority of the usage is a reference to wicked women. Aggressive, bad-mannered, and or seductive women. This is not a good woman, and this is not the last time we will read about this kind of woman in the book of Proverbs. And God says, listen to what God says, young men especially, you need discretion to preserve you and deliver you from the snare of the strange woman. You need discretion. Now, there are some characteristics about this woman that we can find here. Look at verse number 16, which even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words. Flattery. You know what flattery is? False praise bestowed for the purpose of gaining favor. False praise bestowed for the purpose of gaining favor. When she comes and starts batting those eyelashes at you and starts talking about how wonderful you are, and how much you make me feel special, and nobody ever makes me feel like you make me feel. It's what she's seeking is what she can gain from you. That's flattery. And discretion causes you to see through it. And discretion comes from putting a high priority on this book. So flattery. You got to watch, fellas, how they talk. You got to watch it. Now look at this. Not only does she use flattery, she's disassociated from her dad. Look at verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. Who's the guide of her youth? Her dad. Forsakes the guide of her youth. You know, fellas, if she can't stand her dad, she's trouble. And discretion picks up on that. What does she say about her dad? Her old man? What does she say about her dad? Her dad, she doesn't like this one. And discretion, you know what not having discretion does? Goes one after the other. Because she's pretty. And I hope she'll still be pretty when she's talking about you like she talked about her dad. Better hope she's still pretty. You might smack her in the next week. Disassociated from her dad. Now look at the last phrase. And forgetteth the covenant of her God. Just talked about this on Sunday. She's disassociated from her husband. The marriage vows. It's a covenant. So, let's leave the boys and let's talk to the men. Watch out, fellas, if she is a flirt at work. Even though she's still married, she's disassociated from her husband. Women who are tight with their husbands do not flirt with other men. Period. Women who are holy and godly would absolutely, the color would drain from their cheeks if they ever thought a man thought she's flirting with me. Did I make myself clear? Did I make any sense on that? Sometimes you wonder what you say. I'm talking about if a godly woman even got a hint, this man thinks I'm flirting with him, it would make her sick. If she's right with her husband. And discretion is needed. Discretion keeps us and delivers us from the strange women. Now, that's what the Bible says. I'm not reading anything into it or beyond it. And by the way, folks, I'm not searching through a bunch of commentaries to try to figure out what this means, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. Who is the guide of a girl's youth? Her dad. And forgetteth the covenant of her God. She took a vow, a covenant, made a covenant vow, a promise when she got married. And by the way, you say, well, that's not with God. Oh, God's very involved in that. God's very involved in that. So we'll finish. We've got to finish. Look at verses 18 and 19. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go under her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Would you call that strong terminology? Men who go down that road take a great chance. And here's why adulterers and whoremongers are rarely brought to repentance. If repentance, by the way, don't put words in my mouth. If repentance takes place in the heart of one who goes down the strange woman's path, then obviously forgiveness and restoration is available. But folks, these type sins so harden the heart and poison the mind. Are you listening? They harden the heart and they poison the mind. That it makes it difficult to come to that place of real repentance. So I have a question for you, fellas. Why take that chance? Why take that chance? You don't want that. You do not want to take the chance that you'll start down a road from which you may never recover. And discretion keeps you from it. And about every man in any walk of life at some point in time is going to get hit up by the strange woman. It's coming. The opportunity will be there. And you need discretion to see through all the flattery. And to see that she's maybe disassociated from her dad as a young girl or disassociated from her husband as a married woman enough to say, you know what? Out of here. Gone. Stay on the high road. Walk in the way of good men and stay in the paths of righteousness. And if you want help in being able to discern and know right from wrong and pick up on stuff, there's a place to get it. And it's not a matter of if you can. It's a matter of if you will. If you will. The older I get, the more convinced I am of how necessary that book is to a child of God. It's unbelievable. All right, let's stand together. Thanks for being here tonight. Father, bless us, help us. I pray that you'll speak to hearts. I pray that you'll help us to listen to what your book says. I'm not so interested that people listen to my voice. And I know sometimes, Lord, maybe my voice is getting old. I don't know. But I pray that you'll help people to see beyond and hear beyond my voice to the words that are on the pages of this book. And God, to hear your Spirit speak to us and help us to put a high priority on wisdom and knowledge and coming out of your word and your commandments. And Lord, protect us. Protect us, I pray, in this day. All the people in this church, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, ladies and gentlemen.